The Run Home with Ox and Marco.
Now, Ox, a little bit of pushback amongst Australia's peak sporting bodies against the move to implement an independent Australian sports court. Now, this is to handle integrity issues such as doping, match fixing, and corruption. Now, Chip LeGrand has today written on the issue in The Australian. Go have a look. It's a very good article and piques my interest very much. Chip LeGrand's joined us from The Australian. G'day, Chip.
G'day, guys.
How would this independent sports court work if it indeed gets up and going?
So the idea is that you'd have a national tribunal that would be funded by the government, and it would be the first stop for any doping cases against Australian athletes, whether they be Olympic athletes in amateur sports or professional athletes playing in the football codes or cricket or tennis. Obviously, with doping, they would still retain an appeal right to go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. But it would mean that first hearing, rather than being dealt with by a tribunal that's established by the sports, as it was in the Essendon case, it would be this national tribunal, which would certainly be perceived to be at a greater arm's length and have greater independence from the sports. And this court would also be set up to deal with other serious integrity issues they arise. So things like match fixing, other corruption, salary cap, rorting might find its way in there as well.
Chip, why would there be pushback? It sounds like a great idea, a bit like the family court. They specialise in family matters.
Yeah.
A sport court would, you know, deal with sport. It would deal with all the issues that arise with different sports. Why would certain sporting bodies not comply or not want this to go ahead?
Right. So the professional football codes, along with the other leading professional sports, tennis, cricket, who have I left out? Tennis, cricket, and netball. Have all told a government review into this that they would be unlikely to opt into this, that they see it as being expensive and bureaucratic and will be fairly underutilised. Their argument's twofold. The first is that they say that the tribunals that they set up, so for instance the AFL tribunal, is independent. It's run by experienced judges. It's run according to proper legal principles, and it's run free of interference from the AFL. And they say, look, it's an affordable form of justice for the athletes in a way of dealing with these things. The second argument is they say, you know, integrity is really important to running any sport, particularly a professional sport, and so you want to keep skin in the game. You want to keep directly involved in these things rather than sort of subcontracting it out to a third party, or in this case,
if it's specialised, though, Chip, if it's specialised and they are there to look after the best interest of sport and all the issues that go with sport, I don't see a downside to this.
Well, that's the argument for it, and that's certainly the view that's being pressed by the Federal Minister for Sport, Greg Hunt. The Australian Sports Commission backs this idea. So John Wiley, the chairman, is supportive of it. If you talk to people like Richard Ings or Ben McDevitt, who both used to run ASADA, they both think it's a good idea. And the thing that they've identified is that, and if we look at the Essendon as a case study, whether it's fair or unfair, there's no question that the perception was that the AFL tribunal handed down a hometown decision in favour of the Essendon players, and that's part of the reason why ASADA kicked up and in the end WADA kicked up and appealed this thing to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. So the argument is, regardless of whether that's true or not, the fact is there was a perception that was there, and you're better off removing that perception altogether and setting up a government-funded tribunal.
It's a no-brainer, Chip, to me. I mean, you can imagine down here in Victoria, if another NRL club was, you know, they're looking at salary cheating, salary cap rorting, and the NRL tribunal has a look at it, and that club up there gets off, we would be screaming from the rooftops, Chip. I mean, this, I just don't get. Now, tell me this, if the Australian government, if they want to implement it, can they do the same thing they did with the ASADA? You know, when they said,
if you don't get involved, you don't get government
don't get the funding. That's right. Is there a chance that they could actually say, hey, listen, this is silly. This is the right thing to do. If you don't do this, then don't worry about the funding anymore. Is that a chance?
It is a chance. I mean, it's not going to be an exact rerun of that. Remember, that's 12 years ago when the big And the big threat there was to take away funding for stadiums. So that the then Howard government said, righto, if you don't join, this is to the AFL, who are the last major sport to join the World Anti-Doping Code, if you don't sign up to this thing, we're not going to be funding the redevelopment of the MCG. Mm. So that was the big threat that they used then.
Yeah.
What's going to happen here is that, okay, you've got this position, this starting position in the sports. There will continue to be negotiations from the federal government and the individual sports, and they will seek to pick them off one by one. So they will go through them, they will try to convince them to join, and then if you get a situation where there's mainly only one or two standing outside this, then you might see some pressure to bear. So the Minister of Greg Hunt reiterated yesterday that it's not going to be compulsory, that it's an opt-in situation, but at the same time, if you're going to go to the trouble of establishing an Australian sports court, you need as many sports as possible to be in that jurisdiction, and particularly your big professional sports, just to make it worthwhile. So there will be pressure to bear, there's no doubt.
Horse racing, have they indicated their stance?
Look, horse racing isn't in the conversation at this point. But they may well have put their submissions in. I certainly haven't seen all the submissions, so I'm not sure what the position of the different horse racing authorities are. And indeed, you've got the Olympic sports too, which may have a very different view to the professional sports.
And just very quickly, Chip, we're coming up to an ad break. The implementation of this court, what would it do to ASADA's role in Australian sport, if any?
Well, what it would mean is that ASADA, and I should say that ASADA's role is one of the things that's also under review at the moment. There's quite a broad review of all integrity measures in Australian sport that's being conducted by Tony Wood QC, which a lot of your listeners will remember. He was the lawyer who was the Royal Commissioner who uncovered a lot of corruption in the New South Wales police force. So he's quite a renowned corruption buster. He's having a look at all this stuff, including how ASADA does its job. If you had a national court, what it would mean is that whenever ASADA brought doping charges against any athlete, that it would know that it's going to an independent jurisdiction, people who deal with doping cases a lot, who are very familiar with this, with the World Anti-Doping Code and the National Anti-Doping Scheme. And so ASADA has already made it clear that they would, they'd really welcome the establishment of this and would see it as an important reform.
Chip, thanks for joining us. We always like reading your stuff in The Australian.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good on you. Chip Legrand there. Go check it out at The Australian website right now. It's a good article.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco. 3-7 weekdays on 11:16 SEN. Melbourne's home of footy.